Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Meat Magazine Interviews Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Meat Magazine. And as always, I have an amazing guest tonight. She's an actress, a singer, a model, and a makeup artist, and just so much more. I'm going to check to see if she's on the line here. Hello, Melissa.
Hi.
Hey, can you let the listeners know a little bit about you and what it is that you do?
Well, first of all, how are you?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
Good. Very, very good. Enjoying this beautiful Sunday. My name is Melissa Fiore, and I come from Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. And I do a multitude of things. I am a professional singer. I act. I dance. I do voiceover work. And I also run my own makeup business, my own beauty business, as well as fitness. I'm into fitness modeling. So I have my hands in a lot of different things.
Yes, absolutely. You have a lot of different talents. And what I wanted to ask you about first, was your singing. Now, from what I understand, you got started when you were 8 years old. You first sang in a talent show. Is that correct?
Yes. So, yes, it is correct. I discovered I had the talent. I was about 2 years old, believe it or not. I would always just kind of walk around singing. And it wasn't until I was a little bit older that I had a talent show. I was about eight, like you said. And I just performed in front of maybe 100-something people. But at 8 years old, that's a lot of people. And everybody in my school, the parents, teachers, they saw something in me, and so they told my parents, they're like, you need to do something with this girl's talent. And so from there, I started, just singing lessons, and I even did, like, dance school. Like, I always just wanted to be around music in any way possible, and I was the lead in all the plays and all the solos. I had everything, and then when I was about 13, I decided to go professional, and I found management. I started writing. I actually was a lyricist at 13 years old, writing lyrics to beats and performing, anywhere I possibly could. So even before I was 18, I was performing at clubs all over in Manhattan, doing showcases and performing my original work.
Wow. And then now you came out with your debut album in 2013, which was titled One Way. And from what I understand, you recorded it in Spain. Is that correct?
Yes. So Frankie Biggs, who is a Grammy award-winning producer, he's located out there. So I flew out there to record with him for a few weeks. And so we collaborated. We had a few writers on the album, and we put it together. That was definitely one of the most fun recording experiences, especially being in another country. It was very inspiring. But prior to that, I actually toured in Berlin at another point, and I had dancers. I had four dancers, I believe, and we kind of did a whole circuit around Berlin and different clubs, different venues. So the European market was something that I felt was really important to reach out to. So that's kind of why I chose him. I went back out there, and so right now we're working on remixing some of it, and I started my own publishing company. So we're going to really do a hard release really soon, and do a hard push on iTunes and SoundCloud and everything like that. So it's been kind of an uphill battle, but that's what the music industry is. There's a lot of ups and downs, but I love it, and I'm so passionate about the music that it doesn't bother me. I just keep going.
Absolutely. Now, that album came out in 2013. Are you working on a sophomore album while you're working on the remixes?
Right now I'm working with different producers just on independent projects. So maybe at one point I would come out with an EP, but not a sophomore album yet, because I feel like I have a lot of material that I still want to release that I've recorded in the past. And that I would like to put together and release. So kind of just working on different angles and all while trying to, you know, I perform a lot at large venues like MSG. I perform for the Knicks, the Nets, New York Football Club at Yankee Stadium. So I do a lot of national anthems, and so it's been a little hard to focus on the recording because I've been asked to do so many live performances. So just trying to, like, maintain all of it.
Right. I'm glad to see that you mentioned the Knicks because that was actually my next question. You sang the national anthem so many times for the Knicks. It's like you're almost an official member of the team. So do people recognize you from the Knicks games as the national anthem singer?
Yes. Believe it or not, yes. I'm heavily involved, especially at Madison Square Garden and Barclays. I've sang probably about 10 times at least at each venue. And at both venues, I've had fans as well as people that work there that see, I mean, thousands of games and events. And they'll be like, oh, my God, I remember you. You're the girl that sang the anthem. You're amazing. You know, can I have a picture? Can I have an autograph? So people definitely recognize me. And in terms of being close-knit with the teams, I actually, as a makeup artist on the beauty end, I actually do hair and makeup for, you know, I do hair and makeup for celebrities and things like that. I do a lot of makeup for the Knicks City Dancers for their photo shoots and some of their games for the last five seasons. And for the last, I believe it's been three seasons with the Nets. So I've definitely, like, there was one time at MSG on a Saturday night I had to do makeup for the girls and then get out and sing on a Saturday night in front of, like, 20,000 people. So I'm definitely well-known over there.
Wow. Now, besides singing at the Knicks games, you've also sang the national anthem for the Brooklyn Cyclones, the Staten Island Yankees, the Nets, you sing O Canada for the Toronto Raptors. Are you an avid sports fan by any chance?
I am. I am very much an avid sports fan. I grew up as a Knicks fan, so that entire experience was just, like, believable for me and my family. But I'm a huge sports fan. I'm trying so hard to get into sing for the Yankees, to get into sing for the Giants. So I have a lot of goals for that. And I'm a proud American. So just representing my country is so important to me. It's so, so important, especially in, you know, the way everything's going on in the world. It's always just such an honor. It's really such an honor.
Absolutely. Now, when you're not singing, one of your other talents is you have a career in acting. And you had a role in a pretty good movie. It was called Diamond Rough. Can you tell us a little bit about that film and a little bit about your character?
Sure. My character was Mary, and I was a supporting actress next to Fred Rose Starr, and Felicia Snoop Pearson, and some other really talented actors and actresses. And basically, I was kind of his thing on the side, per se, and I helped him heist a bank, and it was really, really a fun, fun experience. I mean, because it's a feature film. It's an independent, but it's a feature film. And like I said, I mean, there were so many talented people, and it was such an eye-opening experience to work with so many people that had been doing films and television. And I kind of just blended right in, and it was kind of, it was exciting, you know, and it made me fall in love even more with acting. You know, because it just felt right. It felt very comfortable, felt right. And I've had years of experience doing, like, improv and acting classes, plays, and I was in a national commercial with Dan Marino and Don Shula and Chris Berman for Nutrisystem. And so, again, dealing with, you know, again, with sports. But I had, you know, so many years of experience of doing commercials and things like that, that this was something totally new, but made me want to even more pursue acting, television, movies. So that's something that I'm striving to in the next year really get into more.
Right. Now, when you're not shooting films, you've been seen in a few reality TV shows, including The Dating Show, Why Am I Still Single on VH1. were you finding love on the program, or did you find the love of your life on the show?
I didn't. I sadly did not. I know. But it was still a really fun experience, and actually Sydney Flicker, who is she's a TV personality. She's always on Wendy Williams and everything. Her and I have stayed in touch and became really good friends from the show. So, you know, I gained a lot of friends and more fans. It was definitely an experience. Reality television, it's tough work. You know, people think that it's a lot of fun, but it's still really tough. I was on something else called Culture Shock, which basically a couple from Texas and a couple from Brooklyn switched places. And so I had to take the couple from Texas all around. So they filmed that. I believe that was on the Travel Channel. So, you know, I've had my hand in a few different reality shows, and I do voiceover work, which to me is kind of like reality slash improv, because they call you up, they give you scenarios, and you have to do it for different commercials and radio spots. So I'm able to utilize my talents, you know, on a weekly basis.
Right. Do you watch any reality TV shows that are out right now, currently?
Honestly, no. I don't have time for television. I'm so busy with my, I want to say careers, that I don't really have time. You know, thank God for my iPhone, because that's how I catch up on news and such. I don't really watch any reality TV. And if I do, it's usually the Cooking Channel. I'm not going to lie.
Well, Food that's definitely, that's a great choice. I'm glad you said that. That's actually one of the, I don't want to say safe channels, but it's one of the best bets, definitely.
Now, it's a clean channel, no drama.
I'm sorry, we have a slight delay in the phone. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just saying the Food Network, I love it because it's no drama, and it's something I can enjoy. And right now, since I'm training for a fitness competition, at least it's like exciting for me. It's like, oh, okay, when I'm not training, I can eat all this stuff. So it motivates me, believe it or not.
Yeah, food will definitely lift your mood. Now, one of the things we just talked briefly about was your act as a voiceover actress. And from what I understand, you've done some national advertisements. Can you tell the listeners some of the companies that you've worked for so far as a voiceover actress?
Well, I've worked with some major radio stations across the country. And the company that I work for is kind of under wraps. It's a private company, so I can't really say much about it. But I can say that if you listen to the radio a lot, you have definitely heard me in a lot of different circumstances lend my voice to the radio. That's all I can say about that.
Okay. Well, hopefully you'll be able to, you know, tell us in the future which commercials were you, because, you know, with us hearing your voice out there, it would be nice to, you know, put your face with the voice. But what I wanted to ask you about voiceover acting is, would you ever do an animated film, such as, for example, a Disney movie?
I would love to. I would absolutely love to. That's also another goal, and also something I've been in talks with certain people about doing voiceover for television and animated features. I have some close connections to video game voiceovers and such, and children's programming. I have a good friend that does that. So I'm looking at different areas to utilize my voice. And so that'll be really, really exciting. I would love to be a character. That would be so much fun.
What would your ideal character be like? Would you like to play a person, or maybe a fluffy bunny rabbit, or what would the perfect character in an animated film be for you?
Oh, I would like, maybe I'd like to be a superhero.
Wow.
I'd like to be a superhero. Yeah.
What would your superpower be?
Ooh. I would probably say my superpower would be to transport to anywhere I want at any time. I love to travel. Traveling is something I'm super passionate about, and I've been lucky enough to travel, you know, within my career. And power would be to just, you know, close our eyes and be like, okay, I want to be in, you know, on the beach right now in Tahiti, and done, I'm there. That would be my superhero power.
Wow, that's a great power. I've never heard that one before, but that's actually a really good feature to have. I mean, I wish I could personally do that as well. And in your travels, have you seen or learned anything that maybe inspired you as a makeup artist or as a songwriter? Did you ever come up with any ideas from visiting these different places?
Actually, I did. I mean, between Jamaica and Germany and Spain and all these different places, even within the U.S. that I've toured in, and I've been inspired a lot. But I could remember one instance was actually, which is the name of the album, One Way. I had a little relationship situation, and so One Way Ticket was literally what I bought when I went to Europe. I bought, you know, I went through a breakup with a guy, and I was just heartbroken. And so my opportunity to go to Germany, I bought a one-way ticket, and I didn't know when I was coming back. And Germany, that was my first stop before I went to Spain. And so when I was there, that's when I wrote the song One Way, one-way ticket, excuse me. And So I was inspired by Germany and just like my experience and, you know, traveling and being alone. So that was one of my most outstanding moments of inspiration and clarity. And it helped me get over my breakup. And that was helpful too.
Wow. Now that's definitely a good reason to travel to clear your mind and get it all together and everything. Now, have you been on any casting calls recently?
The last casting call I did was actually for Disney. It was actually for Disney. And I came very close to making it to the last spot. But unfortunately, they went a different direction. And, you know, it was an amazing experience. I made great connections. You know, if I could give any advice to anybody upcoming who's just getting into auditioning for anything, really, is you can never give up. You know, you never know what they're looking for. You never know what comes out of it. And it's always a great experience to get up and showcase your talent. You know, you walk away with more experience, more confidence. You feel good about yourself, and you grow and you learn from it.
Well, that's definitely good advice. But can you tell us what the project was, or is that a secret thing? Is something that hasn't been announced yet, maybe?
Well, it was back a little while ago, so I'm assuming they must have somehow released it. It was something within the Disney parks in Orlando. I believe they were trying to put together an a cappella group similar to... I'm trying to think of their name. Is it Tectonic or I forget the name. It's an a cappella group, but their voices are unbelievable. I can't think of the group, but they were basically putting together like a young pop style a cappella group. They were looking, I believe, for four gentlemen and one girl. So, you know, and they have specific images and types that they want, and voice, you know, sounds. So, you know, I'm glad I went in. I made a great, great impression on them. So hopefully something will come of it in the future. But that's what it was for.
Absolutely. Now, when you're not singing and you're not acting, you're also modeling. Now, can you tell us anything about any up-and-coming modeling projects? Are you still currently modeling?
Yes, actually. I'm working on my portfolio for fit modeling. So I'm heavy into fitness. I'm actually doing my first NPC bikini fitness competition next Saturday. So I've always been inspired by like Oxygen Magazine, Muscle and Fitness, Hers, like all these really in shape, beautiful, strong women. And so right now I'm putting together a portfolio. I'm working with some independent photographers as well as some well-known photographers. One in particular, his name is Barry Morgenstein. He's one of the top headshot photographers in all of New York City. Him and I are working on a project together. So basically I'm putting together all of these images, and I'm going to shop them around and get into, you know, get a sponsorship with a fit company and be able to wear their gear and promote them, as well as I just modeled for a jewelry line, an upcoming jewelry line, very high end, ggferrantijewelry.com. She's a personal friend and client of mine, and her jewelry is absolutely beautiful. So I'm getting asked to do a lot of projects, and the modeling is really coming up right now.
Oh, that sounds good. Now, other than modeling, singing, and acting, you have another talent that you happen to excel at, and you're an accomplished makeup artist. Now, you've done makeup for everyone from Olympic gold medalist Dorothy Hamill to the Nick City dancers, Rosie O'Donnell, former Vice President Al Gore. How long have you been doing makeup?
Amateurly, I would say since I'm freshman in high school. No, probably earlier than that. I mean, even when I was very little, my friends would tell me, oh, you used to bring your makeup, and like we would play and have sleepovers, and I always was into the hair and makeup. It wasn't until I graduated high school that I went to beauty school right after high school. So it was about 10 years now that I've been doing it professionally. I worked for every company from MAC to Chanel to SK2, Benefit, NARS. I've worked for almost every major brand. And I've done makeup for photo shoots. You know, I just did Elvis Duran's makeup last week, from Z100. So, I mean, I'm always just doing, like, random jobs. But it's great. You know, I built my business literally from the ground up. I was able to retire, per se, from retail completely and just focus on my business. So I go from here to wherever. I mean, I've flown to Texas. I've been flown to Florida, like Miami. I've been flown all over the place to do makeup for brides and celebrities and such. So I've been very, very blessed in that department.
Right. Now, on Instagram, I saw a photo of you where you had pink lips and they were tattooed on your arm. Is that a logo or some sort of reference to your makeup business?
It's my personal logo. It is actually my lips. Those are my lip print. And that is my logo. And to me, it kind of encompasses everything to me. It's, you know, my makeup, I assimilate it with all of my things because I guess it kind of describes me. I'm a very kissy, lovey person, and I feel like lips represent love, and kisses are very intimate, and so I guess it is just kind of my brand. I mean, I have lips everywhere, on my car, my suitcase, all my makeup brushes have like a lip imprint on them, so I carry that logo with me everywhere, and I really, really wanted to get a new tattoo. I have about 6 of them now, and so that was... I just was inspired by, you know, the success of my career, and I felt like it was something I wanted to do. So I love it. I'm very excited about it.
Absolutely. Now, you did an interview with Liv Magazine where you explained to women the do's and the don'ts of wedding day makeup. And in the interview, you stressed the point of doing something called a makeup trial. What's a makeup trial, and why is it important to have one in preparation for a woman's big day?
Well, I think that, like everything, you know, you have an idea in your mind, and sometimes when you execute it, it doesn't always the way you want it. You know, I think that goes with a lot of things in life. And so I feel like makeup artistry is just that, it's art. And so you're really doing art on someone's face, if you think about it. And everybody has different personal preferences. So I think it's really important for me to go and meet the client, talk about what they want, get to know them, the theme, the color, the sense of the wedding and their style, because everybody has a different style. There's no, like, rules. Everybody thinks there's rules about makeup and hair, but there's really not. Everybody's different. You know, you have different ethnicities, skin types, skin tones, and it's so important to customize and be personal with your client. And so for me, the trial is, like, it's actually a lot of fun. You know, we play music and we look through photos and we pick out some looks. And then basically I execute the look and we check it out. We take pictures, we talk about it. We discuss what's going to happen the day of. And in a lot of ways, that puts the bride's mind at ease because they're like, okay, I know what I'm going to look like. I don't have to worry. Because really, besides the dress, the hair and the makeup are the next important things for the bride. And she wants to feel her absolute most beautiful and timeless self. So that's why the trial is so important. So the day of, I know what I'm doing exactly, and she knows, and we're both comfortable with each other. And you create a rapport. And it's very important to create a rapport with people in any industry that you're in.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you mentioned was the fact that when you do makeup, you happen to be an actual artist. You know, there's an actual art form to it. And I think it's really, really important that people understand that. And I think that it's really interesting that you said that, because when you're not making women look beautiful for their weddings, sometimes you're making people into zombies. One of the things that I read is that you did some makeup work for The Walking Dead, the cast of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And what I want to ask you,
yeah,
what was it like making people into zombies?
That was really cool. I honestly hadn't had experience much with doing special effects makeup. And luckily, my best friend and business partner, she has a lot of experience. So she was the one that brought me onto it. And it was so fun. It was definitely one of the most memorable, first of all, because I had to be there at 3 a.m. That's first off. So I'll never forget that. And it was just really cool. It was nothing I had ever done before. So just like putting the blood and like painting them, you know, so white and just the little intricate details was so amazing because it brought the characters to life. And I didn't know this at the time, but a lot of these people, they kind of have a thing for being zombies. Like, there's people that go out and, like, do these zombie acting gigs. So it was like once they had the makeup on, they were so in character. It was actually scary. And I remember they were filming throughout New York City, and we walked over the Brooklyn Bridge with the actors, and it was really frightening. Because these people did not break character. So it's almost like it was amazing to see my work literally come to life. It was so cool.
Well, absolutely. You know, and I think that that's just so interesting how you can go from making people look stunningly beautiful to dreadful. Like, do you use the same makeup to do both jobs, or do you have to use special makeup for each one?
There's particular makeup for different jobs, definitely. I mean, I have a base line of what I use, but ultimately for special effects or something like that, there are certain makeup lines that carry products that, you know, are either heavier or the colors are a certain tone. So it depends, but I feel like, it, you know, as a makeup artist, it's really important to have that diversity in your kit and to be prepared. So, you know, I mean, I don't walk around with blood, like fake blood in my kit, but that's definitely something that, you know, I needed to be prepared with when I went in that day. So that was an interesting accessory.
Absolutely. Now, from what I understand, eyelashes are one of your favorite makeup topics. And, you know, you make women look very beautiful when you apply these eyelashes. And what I wanted to know was, from a makeup artist's perspective, as far as everyday wear is concerned, Would you recommend that women buy lashes or that they put mascara on their natural lashes?
Well, I'm going to say both. I believe very much in customizing my advice and my professional opinion to each individual woman or man in some cases. And, you know, me personally, I feel like I like to be a little more dramatic every day. So when I'm not, you know, wearing a lot of mascara, I'll put fake lashes on. But I have a lot of experience with them personally, so it's easy for me, and it just makes me feel glamorous. Some women don't like that. Some women feel it's too much for them. They don't have the patience. That's what I hear a lot. You know, I don't have the patience to put them on every day. To say, okay, well, what can we do to utilize your natural beauty and your natural lashes? So, you know, maybe a growth serum or, conditioner, and just, you know, building, using different products. It's very much trial and error. But there's so many options now with lashes, and it fascinates me because I grew up with my mom always wearing her mascara a very special way. I mean, she would take at least a half an hour to do her mascara, believe it or not. And it was just so, like, nothing that anybody had seen before. I can't really describe it, but it was very thick, and each lash had a ton of mascara. It was very separated. It was really cool. And so I grew up being fascinated with lashes. And also my mom used to wear a lot of fake lashes. So I was surrounded by that. So I was used to, like, diversity in the lash looks. And I'd say over the last, like, 5 years with the growth of Pinterest and Instagram, lashes have really had their moments. And now they're doing lash extensions, which is something that I do outside of one of the spas in, a higher-end neighborhood not far away. So, there's lash extensions you can do with, like, individual lashes, like, one-on-one. Then there's just the fake that lasts for 2 weeks. Then there's the strip that lasts for a day. Then there's lip, primers. And there's so many different options. But, my thing is, do your research and try. It's very much trial and error.
Oh, that's good advice. Now, I saw a YouTube video where you talked about eyelashes, and you said that the number 43 from MAC was your favorite at the time. Now, that was in 2013. Is the number 43 still your favorite, or have you found maybe one to replace it for now, or maybe you go back and forth?
I kind of go back and forth, but I do in recent times really enjoy a company called Da Vinci Lashes. They make fantastic lashes. And also Ardell. Ardell is literally a drugstore brand, and I like that because the everyday woman could just go in for like $5, it's super reasonable, and just grab a pair. Either the individual ones or the strips. Ardell, to me, is the best on the market.
Now, you're a very busy woman, and in your YouTube video, you said that you've put your eyelashes on while you were in the train.
Yes.
Where is the craziest place that you ever had to apply your lashes or do your lashes in general?
Ooh. That's a good question. There's been so many crazy places. Probably a plane, airplane.
On an airplane?
Yeah. I'd say on an airplane. Always en route. Always en route. Either like in my car, I'm always putting lashes on, obviously as the passenger, never as the driver. But I would say either the airplane, like next to a complete stranger, or the train. Because it's funny, like people watch, and it's almost like you're putting on a show for them. It's very funny. People look at you like you're a little crazy, but I've gotten jobs from it. No joke. I've done my makeup on the train, and I have gotten clients from it because they're impressed. They're like, wow, if you could do that while you're moving, imagine what you could do when you're not. So it works out well for me.
Wow, that's actually pretty cool. Now, you're competing in the MPC Bikini contest, and you know, one of the biggest trends among celebrities as well as everyday women is something called a waist trainer, which is basically like you could say like a new version of a corset. What are your thoughts on waist training? Have you ever done it?
I have done it. I totally believe in it. I mean this in the most humble way, but I do already have a very tiny waist. So I can say it's helped me in my prep, but I haven't had to utilize it as much as maybe somebody else who, you know, if that's like a troubled area, but it absolutely works. The thing I like about it is it's very versatile. Like now the colors, I mean, when I first started getting into training, about 14 years ago, I started working out. And I remember they only had like black one. It was very plain. It was ugly. It was just, you know, and I would put it under my clothes, you know, to give myself a better figure. Now it's just, you know, with all the Kardashians wearing them and celebrities like you mentioned, there's so many colors and people wearing them out. I've seen people wear them out. So I definitely wear mine a lot more, but you definitely can get results from it. I don't recommend sleeping in it. And be sure, my best advice would start with a bigger size and work your way down. I think a lot of girls, you know, they get overzealous and they're like, okay, well, I want to be an extra small. And, you know, you could squish your organs with that. You know, it could be dangerous. So you definitely want to, you know, do your research and maybe go with a larger size at first and work your way into a smaller one.
Oh, that's definitely very important to know that. I don't think a lot of women really think about that when they put on the waist trainer, the fact that it could be somewhat dangerous if, you know, not used properly and that they, you know, they could internally hurt themselves. I'm glad that you mentioned that. And unfortunately, we're almost out of time, but I did have one more question for you, which was, now, one of the reoccurring themes on reality TV is celebrities competing to win money for a selected charity. And I know you've done work, you know, for all sorts of charities, from breast cancer awareness, 9/11, the Epilepsy Foundation, and so on and so forth. Now, if you were on a reality TV show where you were competing for $1 million for a charity, the stipulation was that you could only choose one charity. Which one would it be and why?
I know that must be a really hard question. That is a really hard question because I'd want to give all my money to everybody. but I would definitely say the Diabetes Foundation, because my older sister suffers from diabetes and it's, you know, taken a toll on her. She has a type 1, so she has the pump and everything, and it's a difficult way of life. And I think people, they don't realize how tough diabetes is, you know, and people die from it. And a lot of people in my family have it. A lot of people I know have it. So I feel like that would be the charity I would give to.
Well, that's definitely a good place to donate some time and some research into to help people with diabetes. A lot of people are walking around with it for years, and they probably just think that it's something else that they have, but they, you know, they didn't get diagnosed. And, you know, I think that's actually a great one to choose from. And I want to thank you, Melissa, for calling into my show. You were a great guest. But before you go, I wanted you to let everybody know where they could find you online to work with you or to listen to your music, all of your social media accounts that they can follow you on, and your website.
Great. Thank you so much. I just want to say you are fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored. So you guys can reach out to me in a lot of different ways. So Melissa Fiore, that's 1L, 2S's, fiore.net. All my information is there, my bio, pictures, contact information. So you can email me directly there. My Instagram is BKItalian_Barbie. Facebook is Melissa Fiore. My makeup Facebook is Beauty for All Occasions by Melissa Fiore. Twitter is, my handle is Melissa Fiore NYC. And I believe that's it for my social media. So, right, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, can keep up with all of them. But, yeah, if any of you have questions, you want to reach out about, you know, the music industry, acting, singing, whatever it is, I am 24 hours available, and I love to help people as much as possible, answer any questions, and inspire people. So please reach out. I'm always here.
Wow. Thank you so much for calling in. And in the future, if you have time, we can set something up. If you don't mind, I would love to speak with you again. I had a ton more questions to ask you, but unfortunately we're out of time. But thank you so much for calling in, Melissa.
My pleasure. Thank you. Have a great night.
You too.
Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Melissa Fiore from Seven Seas Records. She's a singer, an actress, a model, a makeup artist. I mean, she does it all. She was a great guest. And I hope to interview her sometime in the future because, I mean, I just had so many other questions. I mean, she has so many different careers. She's just doing so many different things. And unfortunately, this is the end of the show. But until next time, Meat Magazine Interviews Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Just type in Meat Magazine Interviews on blogtalkradio.com. You can also catch this interview in parts on YouTube. Just type in Meat Magazine Interviews Melissa Fiore. And just let me know what you think in the comments section, either on YouTube or on Blog Talk Radio, preferably on YouTube because there's more of a chance we'll see it there. Just let me know what you think, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Meat Magazine.